Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
Well, we are finishing our series called Going All In, as you heard Emily kind of talk about a little bit earlier during our prayer time, where we've just been talking about this idea that everything in our lives, every aspect of our lives, when we trusted in what Jesus has done, is supposed to come underneath the lordship of Jesus. And so this morning, we're talking a little bit about addiction, and unfortunately, I was supposed to have somebody sitting here beside me. Pastor R.C. Maldonado from the Sheepfold was supposed to be sitting here beside me, but he had a kind of a church emergency that he had to help kind of be care for the church, their home church. He's actually filling in and preaching at his home church because of the pastor had a little illness that he took ill, and so he had to go there for them. But thankfully, Pastor R.C. Did film a little video that we're going to watch here in a minute just about his own story dealing with addiction. And he's the reason that I wanted to have him is because he has an incredible story, as you're going to see in just a minute, about the redeeming power of Jesus Christ. And you're going to see that. And it's just, again, I got teary-eyed. I watched it twice, and it got me teary-eyed both times. And so I'm excited to be able to share this with you guys. And he's going to say this, but he really wanted to be here. He can't wait to see you guys and meet you guys. And he even says, answer any questions that you might have about this. But we're going to watch this, and then we'll kind of come back together, and I want to kind of close with some scripture, all right? So let's watch this together.
God bless everyone there at Community Fellowship. Thank you, Jesus. My name is Pastor R.C. Unfortunately, I was supposed to be there with y'all this morning, so I'm sorry that I couldn't be there. There's some, unfortunately, some things that we have to take care of here at our church that they needed me to be here, but God willing, I will be able to be with you there whenever the Lord allows me to in his perfect timing. But first and foremost, just want to thank you for all your support and all your generous giving to our home here, the Sheepfold, and also I just know that you are an extended family of ours, and just want to share a little bit about my story, my testimony for a few minutes, and also let you know what I do here in the Sheepfold Ministry, the men's homes, discipleship home that we have here in Wallace, Texas. First and foremost, just want to give Jesus the glory and the honor and the praise for the salvation of my soul and the forgiveness of my many, 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 many sins. It's going to be a little bit here soon, 20 years ago. This happened in 2006 when I was 28 years old at the time when I went into a home like the one I run here today. But before that, all my teenage years, and I started off as a young age. And of course, like most teenagers, we start with marijuana or alcohol, which marijuana is a gateway to other drugs. But I started smoking marijuana at a young age and was young, 13 years old, 14, 15 years old, started experiencing with other type of drugs, and it just kind of escalated and just got worse and worse until I experienced using crack cocaine around the age of 17. And at that moment of my life, there was a desire to want to change because I began to see what it was doing to my life and also to other loved ones who care for me, but I didn't know how to change. And I thought maybe I can get a girlfriend and maybe even have a child, that I would putting a child into this world and it would change me. And that's what I did. I went in and my wife at the time, I met her when she was in high school. She was 17 years old. I was 17 years old. We had a relationship that, of course, it wasn't, right at that moment of our lives, but we went on and did what I did. I had a young kid at the age of, they had just turned 18 years old and had a young daughter, thinking that that was going to change my life, but it didn't change. It just got darker and darker and darker, and I ended up getting more addicted to drugs At that time in my life, I tried to hide it from a lot of people. I did work and tried to do different things to cover it up, but sin will always find its way out. No matter what you try to do, what you try to hide, sin will always find its way out. And so that's what it did. People begin to find out. My family began to find out. Friends of ours begin to find out. And then, of course, when people begin to find out, and then your own, you know, inner family, your wife and your kids, they find out that you are an addict, or you are what they considered a fiend, or what they call here in town. The word I'm going to use is a pretty strong word, but they call them crack addicts or crack heads. And that's what they begin to say about me. And my wife fell into a shame. My kids would be ashamed. At that time, I had another daughter, and I had put the whole family under a shame that their own dad, their own husband, was involved in some deep drugs that were causing a lot of problem, and began to steal from my family, take from them. They couldn't trust me with anything, and it was just darkness and a place of just desperation. And my wife tried to help me, and she would take me to all these rehabs, and I went to program after program, but it wasn't a place where they were telling me about the Lord. These were places they were telling me that I had a disease, and the disease was called a disease concept. And I understand, you know, and I was part of it was understanding, but I'm going to tell you something. It's not a disease. It's called sin. And sin was my issue. That was what had me in bondage. I had a master over my life, and the master was, I was enslaved to sin. And one day my wife was at a local grocery store, and somebody approached her and told her about this place. They gave her a flyer to say, listen, this place is a place where Jesus is changing the drug addict. Jesus is changing the criminal. And if you know anyone who needs help, he'll be, you know, this is a good place for them to go. They can live there, and the Lord is delivering men. He began to testify to her and tell her, and he began to share his testimony that he was also a drug addict, and Jesus had changed his life. And he said, just take this flyer. There's a number on there. And my wife, being so ashamed and so embarrassed, she said, no, I don't need it. You can give that to somebody else, because there's a lot of wives and families are embarrassed of what's happening in their household, and it's okay. But I'm still here to tell you today, God is able to still to reach those families. If you feel like that, God is able to reach you no matter what you feel like, what your situation is. If it's a son or it's a daughter, God has his hand upon you and your family, because he had his hand upon me and my family. And my wife said, no, I'm okay. I don't need that flyer. And she said, just take it. You never know. That's what he told her. You never know when you can give that to somebody that's in your family, or maybe some friend of yours who might need it. She said, okay, I'll take it. As soon as she left that parking lot, the Holy Ghost began to deal with her and said, you know, give this to your husband. And she knew then that this is what it was for. So she came home that day and she gave that flyer to me. And when she gave that flyer to me, I began to read it. It was about, it had a church address and things in the background. And immediately I rejected it. I said, no, I don't want anything to do with church. I don't want anything to do with the things of God. To me, in my own understanding, church was for weak people. Church was for people who were boring. There's no life there. I didn't understand, because I grew up in some religious background and there was no life. And the churches that they would take me to, it was just all about tradition and rituals and you know, it was just formatted, and it was just, we knew what to do. So there was no life in that church that I used to go to. So I didn't want to go to anything like that. So I threw the paper there in my house, and from that day on, I just went down further. Into total darkness. I would disappear from the house, and my wife couldn't trust me, not even being around the children no more. And then one day I came home, and the thing that I thought that would never happen to me happened to me. My wife left me. She left me, took the kids, and left me a note on the kitchen table. And this is what it said. It said, me and the girls, we're gonna go on with our life. We've tried to help you, and it seems like you just don't care. You figure out how you're going to do this. But me and your girls, we're going to live our life. At that moment in my life, was one of the hardest moments of my life. I didn't even want to live no more. I began began to contemplate. I began to walk up and down. And I lived in a mobile home there in Richmond and didn't even want to live. There was no reason to live no more. There was no reason to even try no more. This time I really had messed it up. This time there was no way that I was going to get out of this. They've left me and I'm never going to be able to get my family back. I'm never better going to see my wife no more. As I'm walking, contemplating, just thinking there's no reason to live. And I see something on the floor and I see a piece of paper. And it was that flyer that I had threw away months ago that she tried to give to me. And I ended up picking it up and I read a testimony that was inside that flyer. The Bible does say that they overcame him through the blood of the Lamb and the testimony. So there is power in the testimony. So I opened up this flyer and it was a testimony of a man who had been delivered from heroin. And he began to share how he came to Jesus and how the Lord delivered him and now how he was being used as a pastor to reach out to other drug addicts and other criminals. And something in that testimony began to stir in my heart. And in that trailer house, I began to feel something here move up. And I know what it was. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God was moving up and he was doing something in me. I didn't know at the moment what was going on, but just like a knot began to move. And it got to my throat and something came out of me. It was a cry that came out of me. And I began to weep and I began to cry. And I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know any scriptures in the Bible, but I got on my knees in that trailer house. And I told God, God, if you're real, like everybody says you're real, I'm tired of living the way I'm living. Help me. And I heard something within my inner man say, which I know was the Lord. He said, give me a chance. So I looked at that flyer. There was a phone number. I called the phone number. I talked to the guy. And the guy said, if you're tired of living the way you're living, come. I said, what are the requirements? He says, only requirement is that you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Allow Jesus to change your heart. So I called the number. Called my wife and asked her to give me one last ride. She came, she dropped me off, and that was 19 years ago. I got touched by the Lord in that home. There was men that were there that who just loved Jesus. They weren't Bible scholars, they weren't theologians, they weren't they were just men who had been transformed by the power of God, began to share what God had done in their life with me and share the gospel in a way that I could understand. And the Lord Jesus came into my life in that home and I was born again. And when I was born again, God began to stir up a desire to want to serve him. And I didn't understand what a calling was at that moment. Because some of the leaders began to tell me, God has called you. And I said, I don't understand what that is. I just want to go to work. And I did. I went to work. But when I was working, I was still doing the things that God had called me to do. But I was getting in trouble for them because God didn't call me to do them there. He had called me to do them where he had called me to do them, but I tried to take a different route. So the Lord Jesus brought me back to full-time ministry. So I began to help out, run a home there in Houston, and Lord restored my family, he restored my marriage, and restored my children, and we began to serve God, we began to follow Jesus, but in our hearts, we all always had a desire to want to come back to our hometown, which is Richmond and Rosenberg. Because I did feel that I wanted to come back and give back what I had taken from our community, taken from our own city, and maybe to be able to be a blessing back into the community that I once lived in before. My wife would tell me, we're going to go back one day. And I said, I don't know, man. It doesn't look like we're going back. But she believed. And that day came. And we were able to come back to Rosenberg and came here and wasn't looking to open a home. But I did tell God, if you want me to open up a home here, I do want to, you know, I want to do what you want me to do. And an opportunity came up and there was a house there in Wallace to Pastor Darren Frank out of Church in Living Water. His father owned this house and he asked me if I would like to use this house to open up a home. And we prayed and God opened up the home here. So we are, I think we're going on our, it's going to be our fifth year coming up here in Wallace, Texas. And I just wanted to give you a little quick run down what we do here in the Sheepfold. The Sheepfold is a men's discipleship home, so the men do live here with us for 6 months. I live here also with them. Me and my wife and my kids, we live in a separate area than they do. And we feed them, of course, 3 meals a day, but most importantly, we feed them the Word of God. And the men, what they do, they come here and they receive of God's Word. They receive of the Spirit. Now, the Spirit has power to change people's life. The Bible says the flesh profits nothing, but the Spirit produces life. So the home is a spiritual atmosphere. So they're constantly in praise and worship. They're constantly in prayer. They're constantly in reading the Word of God. They're constantly being filled with the things of the Spirit. Now, the name of the home is called the sheepfold. The sheepfold is a pen. It's a corral. It's a place where the shepherd takes the sheep to protect them from things of the dark, things of the night, wolves and things that want to attack them and take them away from, you know, the shepherd, what he had called them to do. So that's what we do here in the sheepfold. We protect the men for a season as they're here from things of the world and separate them for a season when they begin to dig into the Word of God, because it's the Word is going to help them grow and become who God called them to become. So it's a lot of working with men's character, a lot of love. Love is what changes these men's life as well, too. So we're constantly loving on them. We're constantly talking to them, dealing with them, helping with them, but always referring back to the Word of God. My wife cooks the meals here for them, so they're receiving love from them. A lot of the men who come into the home, they've never had just a fresh cooked meal and like in a family environment. So they get to see me as a father. They get to see me as a husband. They get to see me as a just as a man, as a pastor as well too. So they live with us here. So the sheepfold is a wonderful place for men who are just sick and tired of being sick and tired and want to change their life. They can come here and be loved by God and be taught the Word of God. And most importantly, allow Jesus to set them free, because he says, I am the truth and the truth will set you free. So thank you for your time. My prayer is that I will be able to see y'all in person and kind of elaborate a little bit more. For the sake of time with this video, I hope that it helps you a little bit understand what we do here. God willing, I'll see you soon and we'll be able to talk a little bit more and you can ask me some personal questions. So thank you so much for all your prayers and all that you do for our ministry. I do know this, God always shows us he's with us through his people. And I know that he's with us because of who you are in our extended family and the great blessings you are to our ministry and to the men that are here. So thank you so much. We love you and we see you soon. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, just in case you didn't know this, the Sheepfold is now a ministry that partner of ours. We have begun partnering with them. It means we support them financially. We also are trying every way that we can to do other things to partner with that ministry. And you can see RC is the real deal. Like, he is the real deal. I've had multiple conversations. We've had coffee. I actually went over there on Thursday to do Bible study for the men. And let me just tell you, when you walk into that house, you can feel the Spirit of God. Like, it's something different, you know? And he's right. They have it covered in prayer and worship. I was a little weirded out because usually I don't have a background or worship track behind me whenever I'm leading Bible study or teaching you guys, but there they did, you know, and I was trying to work through it, and they responded back to me, and I told them, man, I was like, guys, I need you guys to come on Sunday morning so I can get a little bit of y'all's hype, man. Y'all are always feeding back to me, and I love it. But it was just an incredible time for me to be able to get to meet those guys a little bit, and I'm telling you right now, God is doing some incredible things in those men's hearts. And you could see it. You could see them trying to process and think through, what does this mean to follow Jesus? What does this mean to let go of some of the things that have had a hold on me? They were gripping me. They were choking me. And I love the way that RC said it in that. He said, I was a slave to sin. It's exactly what the Apostle Paul says in Romans. He said, we were slaves to sin. It owned us. It was our master. But when Jesus comes, when we recognize what Jesus has done, there is freedom. There's freedom in Christ. And so some of you this morning, you might be in here and you might have a similar story. You might have some addictions that you feel like you can't break. And can I tell you something? You can't. You cannot break them. I love what RC said. He had gone to these other programs, these other things. And this is the total truth. When you go to an AA meeting, right, the thing you have to admit is you have to say, I am an alcoholic. That's what you have to say. And the truth is, that is not who you are. That's not who you are. And the reason that I'm not a huge AA fan is because if you are a Christian, you're no longer called an alcoholic. You don't say that about yourself. You say, I am a child of God. And because I am a child of God, I am set free from this. Yes, I struggle with that, but that's not who I am. That is not my identity. And we've been walking through this the last few weeks, our gospel identity. We are now children of God. The gospel has claimed our life, and we're allowing it to claim all of our life, including our addictions. Including our addictions. And so we have to give that up to him. And R.C. hit on a scripture that I want to read to us. It's going to be on the screen as well, but this is from John chapter 8 and what Jesus says. So let's read this together. To the Jews who believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We're Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you, what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your Father." So here's the thing. Jesus is talking to these men that are basically Pharisees and Sadducees, and he's kind of confronting them about the truth of what they believe about themselves. They say, "Well, we're children of Abraham. We've never been a slave to anyone," which, by the way, is very ironic when you think about the fact that they were slaves in Egypt. They were slaves in Babylon, right? So it's really funny that they're saying this. But they're claiming, "This is who I am. My identity is in Abraham." And Jesus is saying, "You're missing it. You're still a slave to your sin. You're still a slave to your sin because you don't have an identity in God. Your identity is being Jewish," is what he's saying. "But that's not where your identity has to be if you want to be free from sin. Your identity has to be as a child of God." And that's what he says. I love that line, right? He says, "No, now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever." So this morning, you may have walked in, and you may have some kind of addiction. There's all different things that we could talk about, guys. It could be alcohol. It could be drugs. It could be even some of the things that you enjoy watching. It could be some of the things that you're invested in. It could even be sports, all right? All of these things can be addictions that we find our identity in, as opposed to finding our identity in God the Father and as his son or his daughter. And this morning, if that's you, if you've been trying to live out a different identity, finding identity in whatever it is, this morning, what the Lord would ask of you is, do you trust and believe in what I did for you, that I sent my son to die on the cross to free you from sin? Because I want to give you a new name. I want to give you a new name. Your name is no longer that addiction, that sin. It is to be a child of God. That is what will set you free. The truth of God over your life will set you free. That's what he says. The truth will set you free. What do you believe is true? Like I said, those AA guys, they believe that addiction is true of who they are. And they may struggle with that, but if they are a son or daughter of God, that is not what identifies them. That is not who they are. And so this morning, we're going to do the same thing that we've been doing the last few weeks. If you're struggling with something that you feel has got you chained and imprisoned, this morning, Pastor Ron and I, we're going to be in the coffee shop. We want to sit there. We want to be able to pray with you. We want to be able to talk with you. We want to be able to remind you who you are. Some of you, that may not be your story. You may not have trusted in what Jesus has done. You may still be trying to live out of your own flesh. Pastor R.C. talked about that too. You may be trying to live out of your own flesh, trying to stop yourself. And there's nothing in this world that you can will out of existence by yourself. It's only through the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in you. So this morning, if that's you, I want to invite you to come and talk with us. Come and sit down with us. Or if it's too uncomfortable to do this morning, I'm here all week. I'd love for you to stop by and talk with me. But don't stay bound in those addictions. Don't let it identify you. Let Jesus be the one who identifies you. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I thank you so much for RC's story. I thank you that we get to be a part of, God, blessing those men that are in that home. God, those men that are coming out of all sorts of different addictions. God, whether it's alcohol or drugs or even, God, even being thieves. God, I thank you that you're shaping their hearts. You're showing them who they are as your sons. God, I thank you for the ministry that RC and his family does there at the sheepfold. God, I pray blessing. Continue to bless them. God, continue to use them to show these men what it looks like to live a godly life, what it looks like to be submitted to your Spirit. God, I thank you so much for what you're doing. Father, this morning I also pray for those in here that, God, as RC was talking, that they just felt your Spirit move on their heart. God, would you give them the bravery to come and to talk to me or to Pastor Ronald? God, that they would recognize that they are not that sin, but instead they are freed by your Holy Spirit and identified as your child. Father, we love you. We love you. We thank you that you set us free. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you have questions about this week's message or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support community fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.